Facilitating American business deals overseas or facilitating corruption, one of the first new laws signed by President Trump. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The president has just signed legislation that lets mining and oil and gas companies pay foreign governments without having to disclose that to U.S. authorities. It's a big deal, President Trump said at the signing ceremony, quote, "The energy jobs are coming back." The BBC's business reporter Philip Hampshire is following this for us from London.
If you imagine that oil and gas and other forms of extraction companies over in the United States may now have a little bit more latitude in order to make payments to foreign governments in order to facilitate getting certain contracts, well, in other parts of the world, that might come under the heading of backsheesh or bribery or corruption. That would put U.S. corporations on a very different playing field to those, for instance, in Europe.
This is being sold by Congress and the administration as something that will bring energy jobs back to the United States. President Trump has called it a measure that gets rid of what he called misguided regulation. But I guess few would argue that it's a victory for transparency, right?
There is a very good chance that this would, in the United States, create additional jobs. However, there are lots of countries around the world, Nigeria being a very good example of this, which are very resource-rich countries, which have put in place administrations that are now anti-corruption. It may be the case that if a U.S. corporation wanted to bid on a contract in Nigeria, the Nigerian government may have to say, well, hang on a second, maybe we can't award the contract to a U.S. corporation because people will think there was corruption even when there wasn't.
The BBC's Philip Hampshire. Thank you very much for this.
You're welcome.
The stock market was mixed in early trading today. The 10-year bond yield is up near 2.51%, driven in part by a bump upward in the consumer price index. That was driven by the rising cost of renting a place to live, booking a flight, or filling up the gas tank. The Fed wants to raise interest rates soon, although probably not next month. Susan Schmidt is senior portfolio manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Morning.
Good morning.
So we did have some inflation last month. Retail sales went up on the CPI, Consumer Price Index, up 0.6%. That'll certainly bolster the Federal Reserve's case.
It certainly will. We saw some good strength and unexpected strength in both CPI, the Consumer Price Index, and retail sales. And that both give some support to Janet Yellen's statements yesterday to the Senate and today probably to the House, where she will indicate once again that increase in rates is still on the table for the March meeting. The market doesn't really expect this to happen in March. They're thinking June is more likely. But all of these things are supportive that the Fed is still on a path to increase interest rates, which means they're seeing positive things in the economy, certainly enough support to warrant that increase.
As for these record highs we've seen in markets in recent days, perhaps not today, but in recent days, that's still the bet that Trump administration statements will become the law of the land.
I think the market is really anticipating that we see these stimulating effects in the economy, the corporate tax reform, the potentially individual tax reform, the big infrastructure spend by the government, the defense spend, a revision, replace, repeal of the Health Care Act. So all of these things are out there, and the market is really anticipating that they're going to take place in a timely fashion. There's this anticipatory view of all of these things happening, despite the fact that noise is growing in Washington, and we're starting to hear a little more dissent on different ways to approach the plan and people arguing for different paths.
All right. Always good to talk to Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Restaurants that allow you to pay what you believe a meal is worth are popping up around the country. Many find this super awkward. But what if the model helps feed people in need? From station WUWM in Milwaukee, Latoya Dennis has the story.
For people living in poverty, going out to dinner is a luxury. Christy Melby Gibbons thinks dining out should be available for low-income people as well as those who can afford to pay. She recently opened the Trickle Bee Cafe.
I have just always felt like everybody deserves to eat healthy, delicious, freshly made food.
The menu changes daily, but the food is locally sourced, typically vegetarian. The suggested price range is between $5 and $7, but people can pay what they want. Trickle Bee is one of about 50 pay-what-you-can cafes across the country, dedicated to feeding low-income people, according to the organization One World Everybody Eats.
When they come in, they're dumbfounded, and when they leave, they're delighted. Like, whoa, what is this? You pay what you can?
It's lunchtime on a cold winter day, and right now, the cafe is packed. A church pulpit serves as the checkout counter.
Might be a little sacrilegious.
Melby Gibbons is a minister and believes this cafe can survive in an area full of fast food restaurants and boarded up storefronts. She says that on average, two people a day come in and have a meal without paying anything. And around 95% of her customers pay the suggested price or more. Luke Hansen says he and his family plan to give a bit extra.
When you come to a place like this, and it really restores your faith in humanity. Just because somebody doesn't have a lot of money doesn't mean they're a lesser person.
Cookie Taylor is also planning to pay at least the suggested price. She says it could benefit those who can't.
I think there are people here who would eat better if they could afford to eat better.
For most pay-what-you-can cafes across the country, fundraising is necessary. Melby Gibbons says that in addition to the money made from the sale of food and beverages, she needs to raise about $28,000 to keep the nonprofit cafe afloat this year. In Milwaukee, I'm Latoya Dennis for Marketplace.
And before Baltimore resident Henrietta Lacks died of cervical cancer in 1951, doctors at Johns Hopkins took some of her cancer cells without her consent, replicated them, and have used the cell line ever since to develop cancer treatments, a polio vaccine, and more. For decades, the family was unaware of her contribution to science, but that changed with the excellent book The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. There's an HBO special on this set for April now. And now there's word that the family is suing Johns Hopkins for compensation. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.